Hey, well, let's give a round of applause for the gospel choir. Awesome job. I'm going to steal this a second. All right. You can still join the gospel choir if you guys are interested. I might do it. I don't know. I'm just saying. Hey, let's read from the book of Philippians this morning together. This comes from Philippians 2, kind of the end of chapter 1 and the very beginning of chapter 2. So hear these words from the book of Philippians. For God has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well. Since you are having the same struggle that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. If then there is any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, if there's any encouragement in Christ, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I don't know about any of you, but when I was in high school, I was one of those people who I tried to do as many extracurricular activities as I could that would show up on my transcript, but they didn't actually have to do very much work for. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this concept. Some of you, like high school overachievers out there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And one of the best opportunities at my high school for this kind of like really kind of looks nice on your transcript, but you don't actually have to put in any work, was called the Peer Listeners Program. Maybe you guys had these. I love the chuckles, because this is maybe a concept that is still going on. I had a counselor at my school, a school social worker, psychologist or whatever, and I think he was maybe a little bit overworked, because he decided it would be a good idea to get a whole bunch of high schoolers to be kind of like co-counselors with him, and we did some mediation with students who were having conflicts, and we listened to students who were having a hard time, and it became this really good way of getting out of class. You could say, I really want to go talk to a peer listener, and then I would go meet my friends, and we would go chat, or whatever. Anyway, I'm not sure this was a great idea, this school counselor. I know that he had a lot on his plate, but I'm not sure that asking 15-year-olds to come in as reinforcements was the best way, but hey, it looked good on my transcript, so I was happy. One thing I remember about this experience is we did a training, and one of the things that this counselor taught us was not to use this phrase, I know how you feel, when we're talking to somebody who's going through a hard time. I think this was really good advice, and here's why. To say to somebody, I know how you feel, generally isn't helpful because usually I don't know how that person is feeling. Right? And to say, I know how you feel to somebody who's going through a hard time is a great way to end the conversation. Because what happens to that person is they get the message that you're sort of done. You're done listening to them. You're done trying to understand. In fact, you have some solutions cooked up in your head already because you've been there. It's a little bit like fast-forwarding through somebody's suffering. To say, I know how you feel to somebody, I think it comes from a place in us where we just don't really want to be there anymore. It's like it's anxiety for us to stand with people who are going through a hard time, and so we say, hey, I know how you feel, partly because we want to just sort of get through it to the end. It's like TiVo for relationships, right? You think to yourself, oh, I've seen this episode before, and I know it ended up being okay, so we're just going to fast-forward right to the end, see? Solutions, no problem. I know how you feel. It's a little bit of a throwaway phrase for our relationships, I think. And I think partly we use it because it touches at something that is very deep within us. When we're going through times of great suffering, I think one of the deepest longings that we have is to have someone know us, to really see us, to really know what we're going through, to hear our pain, and to stand with us, no matter how alone we feel or isolated we feel, how afraid of the pain we are, to be known is one of our deepest longings, I think. And I kind of think that's part of what Paul is getting at here in Philippians. See, Paul is going through a pretty hard time. Paul is in prison, and the Philippians, the people he's writing this letter to, they know that Paul is suffering, and they feel for him. He talks about how he knows they have compassion and sympathy for what's going on with him. But Paul asks for more. I think Paul is drawing a kind of a tie here between knowing someone's pain and feeling someone's pain for them. He says this, "Make my joy complete by being of the same mind." Paul is saying there's something about loving that has to do with knowing. There's something that has to do with compassion that is understanding. There's something between our hearts going out to people and our brains being able to wrap around the situation. Paul knows that the Philippians are feeling bad for him, but he asks for more. He asks for them to be of one mind. And I think that this is good advice, no matter whether we're talking about our roommates or a brother who's going through a hard time, or maybe a girlfriend or boyfriend who's really struggling. I think this is a good thing for us to keep in mind when we are talking about our interpersonal relationships. But I think it's also something good to keep in mind when we're talking about a broken world. Make my joy complete, Paul says, by being of the same mind, by loving a suffering world, not just with your hearts, but also with your heads, by standing in the suffering long enough that you can feel it, but you can also understand it. I think that we've done a good job as Christians with the heart part. I think that we have responded, for example, to the outrage of HIV and AIDS with an outcry, and that has been good. I think that we have been among the first to speak out about the outrage that is human trafficking. I think that we are really generous as Christians when it comes to responding to like children who are living in poverty. This is God in us. Jesus Christ makes it possible for us to have that kind of compassion on those who are near to us and those who are very far away. And this is good. But I want to challenge us. I think Paul wants to challenge us here. Have we done a good job of the other piece that Paul points to? Have we loved, not just with our hearts, but also with our minds? How much effort has gone into considering why it is that HIV and AIDS has made such an enormous and devastating impact on Africa compared to the North America? Have we spent a lot of time in the Christian community looking into what role we might be playing in turning human beings into commodities, into things we can buy and sell, maybe by the way we spend our money even here? And how much have we really asked ourselves, why is it that there's enough food in the world to go around and yet people die every day because they're hungry and they're malnourished? Have we tried to really understand the suffering that our hearts go out for? Have we responded only with our hearts when God has asked us for more? Make my joy complete by being of one mind, he says, by matching compassion with an understanding of suffering. Now, here's one way that I hope we can rise to this challenge at Hope College this year. We have an opportunity during spring break to let God change our hearts, to let God open our eyes, to let God allow us to be part of righting some of the wrongs that are in the world. These are opportunities to do service for people who are in need, to be missionaries. And this is good. This is compassion at work in us. And I think God is calling us to do more. I think God is asking for more. I think that we are called to do missions and service with our hearts, with compassion. But that if we stop there, we run the risk of doing more harm than good. Make my joy complete, Paul says, by being of one mind, by loving people with your hearts and with your minds. When we don't take time to try to understand a person's suffering, it's really easy to have quick fix solutions for a problem. Have you noticed this? It becomes easy to ask questions like, well, why don't they just get a job? Well, why don't they just send their kids to a better school? Well, why don't they just dig a well? I think that when we only love with our hearts, but we don't engage our minds in understanding, quick fixes, easy solutions can do more harm than good, and God wants more from us. So we're going to do something subtle, but hopefully that will have an impact on helping us to remember this challenge, and that's this. We're going to start calling these spring break trips spring break immersion trips. The overall goal, yes, we're going to do service. Yes, we're going to do missions. But the goal of this trip is simply going to be this, to love the people we're with our hearts and with our minds, to try to understand the web of reasons for the suffering and the injustice that we're seeing, politically, economically, socially, and even challenging ourselves to see how we might be part of that web in the way that we live our lives. We're going to do the hard work of loving people, not with quick fixes and easy answers, but with all of our hearts and with all of our minds. You're going to be hearing a lot more details about these immersion trips after fall break. You're going to have an opportunity to come and to sign up, and I want to encourage all of you to start thinking now if God is calling you to be part of that. But what I need today is I need leaders. I need to know who the student leaders for these trips are going to be. If you think that God is calling you to lead a trip this spring break, please go to grow.hope.edu. There's an application there, and then we can contact you to try to get you connected with one of these opportunities to love people with your whole heart and with your whole mind. Paul knows that the church in Philippi has compassion for him, that they feel for him. But Paul asks for more. Make my joy complete, he says, by being of one mind. Let's rise to that challenge. Amen? Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you that you have given us the privilege of being students at Hope, of becoming people who can develop minds that can understand complexities like suffering in the world. Our hearts go out to people who suffer, whether they're sitting next to us today in chapel or whether they're somewhere across the world. Help us to be Jesus Christ. Help us to love people in their suffering, not just with our hearts, but also with our minds. In your name we ask these things. Amen. Go in peace.